It has strengthened us. It has inspired us. And no less will happen today. Bless us as we listen, as we experience Jesus' salvation. Bless us now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Welcome, my good friend, the Adams family. Always good to see you. You make me feel good. You'll spend the last Sabbath of 2005 with me. Always good to see you. I probably said this before. Probably said it last year. I'm going to say it again. This has been the most unusual year I've ever seen. It seemed like there have been more disasters, more big stories than I've ever seen. I'll probably say that at the end of 2006. I don't know if that's true or not, what I just said, but I'd like to review the year 2005. And so I'd like to take a moment to preach to the subject, He Sleeps. He Sleeps. In fact, 1 year ago, right at the end of 2004, there was a 9.15 earthquake off the island of Sumatra in the Indian Ocean. It spurred a tsunami, which started the largest relief effort in recorded history. The death toll they estimate at 300,000. Probably a whole lot more. They don't really know. And then October 2005, a 7.6 earthquake hit Pakistan and Afghanistan. 87,000 people were killed. 3 million left homeless after 1,200 aftershocks. In London, there were 52 killed and 700 wounded by terrorists. Hit the transportation lines there. In November, France was hit by a riot when those who felt that they were downtrodden felt that they had to protest their living conditions by burning down the places in which they lived. October, 10 million Iraqis voted on the Constitution, and I'll say amen to that. But in the same month, U.S. military death toll hit 2,000. In August, 1,000 Shiite Muslims stampeded each other because of a panic over a suicide bombing. Space Shuttle Discovery finally took off in July after being grounded for 2 years, only to go on that 14-day flight to have a chunk of foam come off, and they're grounded once again. President George W. Bush was sworn in for his second term. Use up all the capital. He didn't know what he was getting into in 2005. Chief Justice William Rehnquist died shortly after John Roberts was sworn in as the 17th Chief Justice. And who can forget, at 84 years of age, John Paul II died, ending a 25-year reign as the longest pope in history. First non-Italian pope in 455 years. And his successor was German-born Benedict the 16th, 265th pope. How about W. Mark Felt? He was identified as Deep Throat. You may not care. Person who, in the 70s, brought down President Nixon during the Watergate scandal. Do you remember the struggle over a 41-year-old brain-damaged woman, Terri Schiavo? Remember all of that? And then Martha Stewart gets out of jail this year, while Michael Jackson was acquitted. And Robert Blake goes free. Something kind of messed up about that. Johnny Carson died. Johnny Cash dies. Peter Jennings dies. Anne Bancroft dies. And Gilligan dies. Bob Denver. Sandra Dee dies. And Richard Pryor dies. And Get Smart, Don Adams dies. Star Trek, Scotty, James Doohan dies. Prince Rainier of Monaco dies. King Fahd of Saudi Arabia dies. And Rosa Parks dies. Now I could go on and on with the events of 2005, but I left out one. Can any of you think what I left out? Katrina. Katrina. August the 29th, a Category 5 hurricane barreled down on the Gulf Coast, hit Alabama, Mississippi, and Louisiana. Over 1,000 dead and hundreds of thousands were displaced and homeless. You might forget, but I'll never forget. You may not feel this way, but when many people review the year 2005, they ask the question, was God asleep? Was God asleep? You know, of all of the lofty miracles and the things that we know about Jesus, we don't talk much about Jesus sleep. In fact, maybe we don't like to think of him sleeping. Maybe we don't think Jesus gets tired. Maybe we don't want to think that Jesus could possibly get worn out and weary. Maybe we want to see Jesus as workaholics like ourselves. But there's an account, and I want you to turn, if you would, to the Gospel of St. Matthew. The 8th chapter. The Gospel of St. Matthew, the 8th chapter. And while you're turning there, I want to start reading at verse 23. Then he got into the boat, and his disciples followed him. This is Matthew, chapter 8, verse 23. And without warning, a furious storm came up on the lake, so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was what, everybody? Jesus was sleeping. I said the title of the message is, He Sleeps. The disciples went and woke him, saying, Lord, save us. We're going to drown. And he replied, You of little faith, why are you so afraid? Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, What kind of man is this that even the winds and the waves obey him? Now I invite you to look at the next account in the Gospel of Mark, the one that Jennifer read, the Gospel of St. Mark, the 4th chapter, starting at verse 35. While you're turning there, I'm going to start reading. That day was evening came. When evening came, he said to the disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. And there were also other boats with him. And a furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat, so that it was nearly swamped. And Jesus was in the stern, what, everybody? Sleeping. On a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind and the waves, said, "Be quiet. Be still." Then the wind died down, and it was complete. Said to his disciples, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Whenever you read the Gospel of Mark, you get a different flavor from the other Gospels than Matthew and Luke and John. There's no reference to Jesus as king. No adoration from the wise men from the East. No miraculous birth, no growing child. No unveiling of the Word of God as you might find in the Gospel of John. Mark has something very interesting to show us about Jesus. He shows us a Jesus that goes to work. He shows us a working Jesus. And a working Jesus, believe it or not, is a Jesus that gets tired. Is a Jesus that sleeps. Is a Jesus that gets weary. Not only does he show us that, the Jesus that works, but really, it's Jesus the servant. And certainly servants work, and certainly servants get tired. So when you read the Gospel of Mark, always key in on some key words, like straightway, or immediately. And that is a key word because what it does is tells us how Jesus works. Whenever Jesus works, he works immediately. In fact, when he works, one of the things you'll find out about Jesus, whenever he does something, he does it with all of his might. I mean, when he does something, he puts his whole self into it. If I have a problem, is that I'm always constraining myself because I'll go just too far in putting myself into it. But Jesus, when he puts himself into it, he puts himself into it. And so when you do that, you get tired. You get exhausted. And yes, you sleep. When people often come up to me and they say this well-meaning, they say, "Pastor, I know you're real busy. I know you have a whole lot of things to do. But you know what I tell them? We're not busy all the time. We're busy sometimes. I get my breaks. You know that. I can't fool you. I don't have a clock to punch." Some of you probably think, "I wonder what he does during the day." It's okay. I don't have any problem. You think that. I work. I work hard. And then sometimes I don't work hard. And that's okay. I'm all right with that. You ought to be too. I never try and fake people out and make it seem like preachers are just killing themselves. You know better. Sometimes I do. Sometimes I don't. But I get tired. I never try to give people the impression that I don't get tired too. It can be kind of disconcerting for some people to know that Jesus sleeps. And for many in 2005, especially as it relates to Katrina, there were people asking, where is Jesus? Is he sleeping? Was he asleep when you faced some of the issues you faced in 2005? All I can tell you is that when we look at this account, Jesus was so tired that he could get in a boat and a storm could come up and it couldn't even wake him. That's tired. That's real tired. You know, I tell you, that was some kind of storm. You know, if fishermen feel that their lives are in peril, that they are about to drown, it must have been quite a storm. Jesus slept through the storm. Now, look at this. Look what happens. Have you ever been in a deep sleep? I'm talking about one of them really good ones where you don't know anything. Jesus was in that kind of sleep. I mean, the storm couldn't wake him. He was asleep. He was tired. He was asleep. Now, if somebody comes and wakes you up out of that kind of sleep, how do you act? Now, some of you are laughing, right? That's not good, is it? You don't get that kind of sleep often. They wake Jesus up. And Jesus gets up angry. Is that how he gets up? With them for waking him up. Is that how he acts? Interesting how Jesus acts. They wake him up. Mark says he gets up, rebukes the wind and the waves, quiet, be still. Winds die down, waves are completely calm. Says to his disciples, why are you afraid? You still have no faith? They said, who's this? Even the winds and the waves obey. You know the answer? He's the Son of the living God. I'm going to have a message for you. You need to give me about 5 more minutes. Maybe 10. I got to tell you this as you go into 2006. You do not have to be afraid. You don't have to be afraid of 2006. Now, I'll tell you. You thought 2005 was something. You wait till you see 2006. I'll predict that. I'm willing to be called a false prophet. I'll predict that you haven't seen anything yet. I'll come back at the end of the year and I'll probably be right. No matter whether Jesus and Mark was taking a little child in his arms, stilling a storm, he gives his whole energy to the task. I want to encourage you with this. Answers from the Desire of Ages. If you haven't read that book, you ought to read that book in 2006. What a book. Desire of Ages, and I know she had to be under inspiration when she wrote this. When the disciples said, "Lord, save us, we perish." Desire of Ages said, 3:13, "Never did a soul utter that cry unheeded." Did you hear that? When you really cry out, "Lord, save me," I mean it. That cry, that prayer never goes unheeded. I mean, the folk, I don't know about you, but that's encouraging to me. That's encouraging to me. You see, when you read Matthew's account of looking out in Matthew chapter 8 is with the perspective of someone being on the shore looking at the boat out there. You can see the waves, but you're looking from a distance. But Mark, when you really look at Mark very closely, Mark gives a perspective of the individual actually being in the boat. That's a different way to look at it. You see, when you're in Katrina, you react a lot different. Those folk in Katrina, they were praying real prayers. You see, we're still praying fake prayers. But when you get in a Katrina, you say, "Lord, save me." And you mean it. You're not playing. You're not playing church. You're serious. And the Lord hears that. Isn't that good to know? He doesn't say, are you a member of the Seventh-day Adventist Church? Is that what the Lord asked you right then? Are you a Baptist? Are you a Methodist? The Lord does not. He just hears that cry. Oh, I'm grateful for that. I don't know about you. I am grateful for that. There's a time when we read the scriptures, it looks like God does not care. It looks like he really is asleep and not caring. Lazarus died. Doesn't appear that Jesus even cares at first. Peter's in prison, you know, he's rescued at the 11th hour. Jesus always seems to rescue us at the 11th hour. And John the Baptist, he just says, "Well, just tell him the miracles that I'm doing." It almost appears that Jesus does not care. But I believe that what happens many times is that he delays his help to do something to our faith. And to make us pray a real prayer. Boats may be covered. He sleeps. He wakes up before the boat sinks. I learned something as I was working this sermon. In the gospel realm, and based on my background, there's a gospel singer, the late James Cleveland, sings a song called "Peace Be Still." It deals with this whole issue. Many people know it from the old gospel world. And he talks about the master of earth and sky, the great power of Jesus as he stills the great storm and the sea. I found out that Jesus was not operating in this realm. For Desire of Ages really took me to school on this passage. For it says that Jesus was operating in the aspect of John 5:30 where it says, "I can do nothing of my own self." He was depending on his Father. It was his faith in God. Caused him the rest. I'm not sure what situation you're going to find yourself in 2006. But let me tell you, if you will give your heart to Jesus, whatever happens in 2006, you just go ahead on and sleep. If Jesus sleeps, you can sleep. In other words, Jesus has your back. Whatever happens, you do not have to worry about 2006. Will it be worse than 2005? You can bank on it. Do you need to worry about it? No. Why? Because Jesus sleeps. As he slept because his Father had him, you can go to sleep too. Some of you are already out there sleeping. You already started it. Go ahead on to sleep. Stay sleeping. Yes, Jesus sleeps. Thank God he sleeps. It was a boiling August afternoon in New Orleans. The Big Easy. The city that care forgot. Those who ventured outside moved as if they were swimming in Tupelo honey. Those inside buildings paid homage to the man who invented air conditioning, because it gets muggy in New Orleans if you've been there, and I have many times. But then there's a storm approaching in August. Not unusual, but a storm approaches. The whirling maelstrom approaches the coast. More than 1 million people evacuate to higher ground. Some 2,000 remain, the carless and the homeless and the aged and the infirm. And those diehard from New Orleans who look to any excuse to throw a party. The storm hits Brayton Sound with the fury of a nuclear warhead, pushing a deadly storm surge into Lake Pontchartrain. Of course, the water crept to the top of the massive berm that holds back the lake, and the lake spills over. 80% of New Orleans lies below sea level and more than 8 feet below in places so that the water can pour in. Liquid brown wall washed over the brick homes, over the clapboard houses of the Ninth Ward, and over the white column porches of the Garden District. And there are many who are drowned, contaminated by sewage and industrial waste. Many perish in the flood. Some are dehydrated and diseased as they wait to be rescued. You thought I was talking about 2005 Katrina. That's an article written in National Geographic, 2004, a year before, called Gone with the Water. Not Gone with the Wind. Gone with the Water. It was a scenario made up a year before the event happened. It was known by FEMA and so many officials that this was an issue that could happen, that the Red Cross didn't even have evacuation centers set up in New Orleans because they know this could happen. That is a crime. Knew it was going to happen. You know what's going to happen in 2006. But don't worry. When you give your heart to Jesus, lay your head down at night and go to sleep. I wish I could tell you that in life, everything will work out all right. And that because you're a Christian, you'll never perish. But you'll know that I'm a lying minister if I tell you that. That is not the truth. I can't explain how a soldier who came from Iraq, was partying because he was home, got drunk and shot his weapon up in the air, and a young lady who was standing in her fifth floor apartment window was shot in the head. Now, how would you like to try to explain that to the husband that came in a half hour late and saw his wife laying on the floor dead? Folk, I could probably give you story after story of those kinds of things happening in life. I can't tell you that everything is going to work out fine. But I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt that if you give your heart to Jesus and put your life under His control, that you can lay your head down at night and go to sleep. And that whatever happens to you, you belong to Him. Do you believe that? Do you believe you don't have to worry in 2006? I don't know about you, but that encourages my heart. So I would ask you not to go into 2006 without Jesus. How could people be so bold as to take a chance and go into 2006 without Jesus? I don't know. The last place I expected to be last night at 2 o'clock in the morning was in the hospital, standing over a teenager. That was the last place I expected to be. Folk, but give your heart to Jesus, and even that situation is all right. I hope you understood what I meant by that. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for 2005. It was a challenge. It challenged some of the individuals in here and their family more than we will ever know. There was some pain and heartache right here in this congregation among the people here today. Some things happened to them that almost floored them. But they're up here, Lord. They're here right now. You kept them. Lord, we pray that you would guide us and direct us in this coming year. Help us not to worry or to fret. We know that there was no fear in you. And in fact, Lord, what we know is that you sleep, but you never oversleep. You are never never oversleep and never late. We thank you that you're that kind of God to us. My prayer to you as I close, I'm not going to make a call where I ask you to raise hands. I did that a week ago and I had 8 people raise their hands for Christ. 5 of them were young people. Amen. Thank you for your influence. Thank you for what you're doing in the lives of your young people in this church. 3 of them were adults. But there are those out here today that need to seal that today. You need to seal that decision for Christ today, the last Sabbath of 2005. Do that in your heart. I want to ask you to raise your hand. You can do that with the Lord.